blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're in chapter 14. And yeah, verse 8, way to go, you're on it. Book of Acts, thanks for saying that, because I forget that not all of us are with us continuously through the weeks as we started out in the book of John, the Gospel of John, which displays the life, teachings, and ministry of Christ. And then in the final chapter, after he leaves, he comes back and he says, go and make disciples. Okay, and I love the simplicity of his message. He doesn't make it complicated at all. He only says two things. Go and make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Okay? That is the great privilege of making disciples. Baptizing and teaching to obey. Okay? That's not legalism. It's not a bummer. It's the greatest joy I've ever had in my Christian experience is learning to obey Christ and his teachings, because that's where the joy is. That's where the thrill is. He's worthy of me to obey him. Okay? That's what Lord means. Then what we see in the book of Acts, which is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, is we see the apostles being sent out. He says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Okay? And we see in the beginning of Acts that they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of God himself. What an incredible concept to really think. God has indwelled me with the Holy Spirit. Really? He's living in me. So we see the acts of the Holy Spirit demonstrated through the lives or manifested through the lives of the apostles. And it's quite an adventure. We've seen them so far preaching the gospel, the good news. And then we've seen various responses to it. A lot of conflict, a lot of opposition. Stephen was killed. Okay. People are thrown in jail, beat. Pretty serious stuff is going on. They hung out in Jerusalem for 6 or 7 years, enjoying a time of peace and provision, shared all their possessions, and then they got scattered through persecution. They didn't go out on their own. It was the persecution that drove them out to follow what Jesus told them to do, go to Judea and Samaria. So we saw that happen, and now we've seen the first church in Antioch, a foothold, and from there these men are now, a great turn of events has happened. They're willfully going out unto the ends of the earth proclaiming the gospel. So we see Paul and Barnabas doing that right now. We're midstream as they're moving out. That catches us up real quickly. I probably left a lot out for sure. So we're going to start in verse 7, just to tie this in. It starts where they continued to preach the good news. I just want to go through this. Anybody want to read these verses 8 to 20? Can I get a volunteer? Matt, come on up and read for us, would you? You got the mic, Mark? Where is it? No mic? Oh, it's over here. Okay, go ahead.
Disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe.
Thank you. Good job, man. Thank you. So what we're seeing here is what I want to focus on this morning is we have a crowd, okay? And in the crowd, we have a division. We've got the Jews. We've got the Gentiles. Okay, for those who don't know, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people. Chosen for what? Not because they're a good people. They're a stiff-necked and rebellious people. That's what God has to say. He said, I didn't choose you because of your attributes. You're a stiff-necked and rebellious people. But he chose them for a purpose, okay, to represent himself or reveal himself to a people, to a nation, and then to the world. Okay, and he chose them to entrust them with the very words of God. Okay, now we've got another group of people, the Gentiles. That's us. Okay, we weren't in that group of people, but he opened the door. And what we see, one of the mystery of the gospel, didn't know this until a couple years ago, is that he opened it for us. To them, it was a great mystery. To us, we don't look at it as it's mysterious at all. We're just grateful that he did it. But to the Jews, it was a great mystery, okay, that he opened it to us. So we've got two crowds of people, all right, the Jews and the Gentiles. And when we're speaking, typically, if you're in recovery like I am, how many people in recovery this morning? All right, at least half. See, we got a crowd of people here, don't we? Half of us are go to AA meetings or some form of 12-step meeting, and half of us don't. So that's an interesting representation of how crowds are, okay? Now, in this particular crowd, he's preaching the good news. What is the good news? Starts out in verse 7 and it says, they continued to preach the good news. What is the good news? The gospel. Yeah, exactly. What's the heart of the gospel? If you could sum it up in one verse or two. Love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. That's the good news, right? Okay, now, one of the interesting things here, as we break this down, but again, I want to say what we're looking at. We're looking at the crowd's response. There's a couple Jews, not a lot, that stir up the whole crowd, and there's only two apostles. So there's two apostles over here preaching the good news, and then come the Jews, a couple religious people, and they stir up the whole crowd, and the first stirring up of the crowd, they want to worship these guys. Wow! Could you imagine chairing a meeting or speaking at church and people want to worship you? Wow, that would be an interesting response. And then the next response is they want to kill them. Okay? This is the nature of a crowd, isn't it? We see this over and over in the book of Acts if we're paying attention. The crowd. Okay? Now, this morning what I want to look at is how Paul and Barnabas, God's men, God's messengers, how they respond to the crowd's response and what they do. And then I want to look at, how do you respond? Who are you? Where are you in this crowd? Okay? What role have you chosen? Now, we're going to start out with one guy, the guy that got healed. Verse 8. In Listeria, there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. This word listened in the Greek, one of the meanings can actually mean understood. So he wasn't just listening, he was understanding what was being said. What was being said? The good news. The gospel. He understood it. Paul, let's go a little further here. Paul looked directly at him and saw. That word saw means perceived and also understood. So Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. Okay? I want to tell you something. When I'm up here speaking, or when you're presented in front of a group, maybe at AA, maybe in church, I don't know, maybe a small Bible study group, you can see who's listening, and you can see who's understanding. It's not that big of a deal, especially with the power of the Holy Spirit. What gets me the most is when I'm speaking and everybody's just blank face. I don't have a clue what's going on. God's doing something. I don't have a clue. But every now and then I see somebody and he's going, he's listening, he's understanding. They're preaching the good news, the message of Christ. This guy is listening and understanding, and Paul sees it and he responds to it. We should be sensitive to that when we're speaking. Is somebody listening? Is somebody perceiving and understanding? Let's respond to it. Paul does. He says, stand up. Pretty amazing. That he had faith to be healed and called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw, and the word means the same thing, okay? Now, it takes this man is getting it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's responding to God's word, okay? But the crowd is responding to a sign, isn't it? Okay? When the crowd saw, what did they see? They saw the sign the miracle of this man being healed. What Paul had done, they shouted in Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Now, this is an amazing... As I was studying this and asking God, what's going on here? Holy Spirit, what are you saying? I'm reading a book that's teaching me by Watchman Nee. There's all these little books we can read that teach us to study the Bible. And it says, what's the Spirit saying when you're reading the Bible? What is it saying? Help me understand what this is saying, God. The crowd is excited that the gods have come down in human form. Okay? Paul preached the good news. They're preaching the gospel, and the crowd is interpreting this through their worldview, and it's coming out. Here's what they heard. The gods have come down in human form. That's how they're seeing it. Okay? There's a real lesson to be learned in this. When I'm sharing the good news with somebody, I need to pay attention to their world filter. Okay? Because whatever I say, it goes through their world lens. Everybody sees the world from their own perspective based on their individual outlook and experiences. And you're no different. We learn that in our fourth step, don't we, as we do a searching and fearless moral inventory. We find out, why do I act the way I act? Well, you've had experiences started out in childhood here that have, you know, created these scenarios and situations, and you've built on them and built on them and all the way up until now. And you can see it clearly if you stop and look. It's called the world view. Everybody has one. So as they hear the gospel and they filter it through their world view, their response is, first of all, they're really excited. They want to worship these guys. Well, that's a pretty good thing to do, isn't it? Worship's a pretty good thing. Pretty good response to a message. Let's worship. Problem is, they want to worship the wrong people. They're taking their perspective of God, which is really skewed, and they're putting it on Paul and Barnabas, and they want to worship him. Okay, God can deal with that. And as we run into people who have skewed worldviews, I mean, I was at a baby shower. Don't ask me. One of my buddies decided he wanted to be at the baby shower with his wife. He didn't want to miss out, so he invited us to go. That's all right. He invited us to go, and I didn't really want to go, but he's my buddy, so I wanted to back him up, so I went. At the baby shower, one of the girls was saying, oh, she's pregnant too. A psychic told me that my baby's going to be a boy. He's a bona fide psychic. As if, you know, it's like that. I didn't know there was actually a bona fide psychic, you know what I mean? Anyway, it just astounded me that in her world vision, in her world view, you know, you could go to a psychic and get information like that, and it was very real. Now, we know that's sad, okay? But to her, it was very real. God's not freaked out about these things. He's going to deal with them, and watch how he deals with this. The gods have come down in human form. I want to stop on this. Actually, they've almost got it right. Okay? They've almost got it right. God did come down in human form, didn't he? Came down in the form of Jesus. He was a human. Emmanuel means God among us, dwelling with us. Okay? He came down in human form. That's an awesome thing. And guess what? He is indwelling these men through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the power. It is God himself speaking through these men. So they're almost right, but almost isn't anywhere close to good enough, is it? No. If they had taken the S off, then they'd be even closer. And if they had given God his due, his name, through his son Christ, then they'd have it right. That's what the message was. So it's interesting to look at that. The counterfeit is sometimes is meant to be very close to the original, isn't it? See, why are they all excited that they come down in Paul and Barnabas form, but they're rejecting Jesus? We'll see that. Okay, Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. So evidently, Barnabas is considerably larger than Paul. Zeus is their supreme god. He's the head muckety-muck of the god system that they have. Okay, and Hermes is his speaker. Okay, his messenger. And there again, you know, God has messengers too, doesn't he? Yeah. That's what apostle means. Special messenger. It's one of the definitions for this. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to him. Now watch the apostles' response. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this?" See, we read that. If you're like me, you read this stuff, go right past it, and think, "Well, that's interesting."
I was going to say, what are they doing? Because they're saying that they're God?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What they're doing is called idolatry. Okay? Is they're worshiping someone other than God. That's idolatry. They shall have no gods before me. Okay? Oh, yeah. These guys are Jewish, man. It's like, they don't want anything to do with any form of idolatry at all. Check out what they say. "Why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you." Okay? You might just go over that and think, boy, those guys are stupid, worshiping Paul and Barnabas. What's up with that? Well, from their worldview, they're responding to God's message the best they know how, okay, and it's pitifully wrong. And I want what God spoke to me is, guess what? We run into people like this all the time, don't we? Oh yeah, I'm at the baby shower, and a woman is telling me that she found out that her child is going to be a boy from a bona fide, a real psychic. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to ruin the baby shower, break out in a sermon. How many people sponsor someone? Okay, 4 people out of the whole group. How many people have a sponsor? A little more. When I first got a sponsor, guess what? Guess what I wanted to do with him? I'm going to put him up here on a pedestal. Why? Because I have a limited world view of God, obviously. I'm hooked on drugs. I am so away from God, it's not funny. But I can see you. And if I'm not going to have the power, man, you better have it. So fine, I'll give it to you. I'll put you up here on this pedestal. You be in control. You tell me what to do. I'll never forget when I called my sponsor after 90 days and I realized, man, I'm sober. It's a fact. I can operate from this with confidence now. I know how to stay sober and I know what to do and I'm going to do it and I want to do it. I love it. I called my sponsor. I was almost crying. I was so happy. Matter of fact, I did cry. And I pulled myself together and I called him up and I hadn't even thanked him. I said, "Jim, I want to thank you for helping me. And I realize that if it wasn't for your help, I wouldn't be sober today." I hadn't even thanked the guy up until then, being self-centered, self-seeking to the extreme. My sponsor, Jim, was an older man, had 32 years of recovery. Guess what? He took none of that. He goes, "Oh, that's okay, Lane, thanks. But now I'm going to tell you what my sponsor told me. Now you have a responsibility to carry this message to the next man, to be here, to occupy a chair in these rooms as I did, and to be here for the new man as I was here for you." See, he didn't waste any time taking my praise, and oh yeah, he didn't need it. He didn't want it. What he wanted was God's purpose to be fulfilled and to be carried on. "I don't need your praise. That's great if you like me, that's right, but I really want you to like God." See, how many guys I sponsor, they like me. It's amazing. It really amazes me. They like me just fine. But when I share Christ with them, they're not into that so much. I'm serious. How many people do you know like that? They're willing to worship you. It's a form of worship, in case you didn't catch that. Okay? When somebody's willing to put you above the God you serve, how do you respond? Well, I'll tell you what. At first, I kind of liked it. It appealed to a part of my nature. Then I developed a little, you know, disclaimer statement. Don't put me on a pedestal, man. Then after I said that, I kind of felt like, okay, go ahead. I'm serious. Because I had low self-esteem, and I thought, you know, that's where I get some. And then guess what happened? They do put you on a pedestal. Guess what they do next? Take you off that pedestal. Oh, yeah, you think not? You've probably done it a few times yourself. I have. Oh, yeah. Let's take him off the pedestal. Who's he think he is anyway? Hey, I never even asked to be on the pedestal. Now I won't be on the pedestal. Forget it. I don't want to be on the pedestal. I want to be right here with you. I'm human like you. And I need God. And I have nothing else to offer you. And if you don't catch that part of the message, I'm bummed out. Real bummed out. I really don't care what the crowd thinks. I'm talking to you right now. I'm here to represent God. And if you like me and you don't like him, there's a real problem here. There's a real issue, and I want to meet it. So let's look how Paul meets it. It's beautiful. Men, why are you doing this? What a great question. I love God because he reasons with us, doesn't he? This is really the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Why are you doing this? Now check this out. In AA we come in. I'm powerless, first step, and I'm insane. And the next thing I want to do is create my own God. Okay, we can laugh at that. It's pretty insane, but guess what? We do the same things, don't we? Sure. We get our own little religious system. Set it up. I do. I want to do just about anything except be totally sold out for you, Christ. 100%. I want to be 100% sold out for you because you gave your only son to redeem my worthless life. Okay? Whatever you say, every day, I want to deny myself and pick up my cross and follow you on this great adventure called Christianity. That's what I want to do. Okay, guess what? It took me a long time to get that is normal Christianity. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm not sure that anything apart from that is real Christianity at all. Okay? I'm just not sure of that. I'm not sure the little system I erected in place of you died on the cross for my sin and gave me the Holy Spirit and redeemed my life. And I just cruise along in my life like nothing happened. And there's no difference in my life than anybody else's around me. I'm not so sure that was Christianity. Wasn't anything like Christ. What is Christianity? When you say they were first called Christians, why were they called Christians? Christ-like. They were Christ-like. I'm anything but perfect, but you know something? I cross a line. I hope you have too. And if you haven't, I hope you think about it. If nothing else, I hope you walk away from this morning thinking about, have I crossed a line? Am I all in? See, we laugh at these people. They're turning. Well, let's look at the message. Getting off track here. I'm sorry. Why are you doing this? We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things. I want you to know something. It was a long time before that was good news to me. Hey, Lane, turn from these worthless things that you've put in between me, you, and your relationship to me. Where do you go when you're in pain, Lane? Oh, wow. don't even want to mention some of the places that I used to go. Where do you go when you're in pain? When you're really hurting? TV? I used to go to cigars, man. Yeah, let's go get a cigar. That'll do it for a little while. Go down to the cigar store, hang out with my bros, and just cut it loose, you know? We're not talking about anything godly down there, believe me. I've never been in a cigar store yet where it's, you know, we're talking about God. Yeah? Self-pity. Great one. Absolutely. Thank you. Pride? Criticism? Let's gossip.
Isolation.
Yeah, instead of pray, let's gossip. Let's talk about some other people. That's fun. Yeah. Okay? And let's just all pretend that that's just all part of it. It's not. It's not at all. Turn from these useless things to God. Okay? This is the message of the gospel. Repent and be saved. Okay? And it's a daily experience, isn't it? Sure it is. So the first thing is turn away from these useless things. That's repentance. And then turn to God. That's faith. What a great message. I need to do that every day. I don't know about you. Just a couple weeks ago, we're looking at buying a house. My loan agent, bona fide loan agent, tells me, yeah, I'm thinking, hey, you know, I might not actually want to move from where I'm living, and I might want to just rent the house. Would that be okay? Oh, don't tell me that. I really don't want to hear you tell me that, but yes, you could do that because you're a first-time home buyer. And I said, well, I'm not, you know what, I don't really want to do that. Hey, the rate is a lot lower, and you have to put a lot less down. Guess what? In my mind, I struggled with that temptation for about 2 weeks. And guess what I did? You think I talked to anybody about it? No. Just in my head. I'm not actually doing it. Don't want to actually be humble, act like I need some advice, some encouragement. It's just a thought, right? Guess what happened? 2 weeks of unattended thinking in that direction, I'd rationalized it. I could actually move into the house. I could actually just say, I was going to live in it and I changed my mind. That's not breaking the law, changing your mind. I'm free to do it. Guess what happened to my joy? Guess what happened to my dependence on God? About a week later, I was in a real bad place and I'm grateful that I caught it. Okay, because that means I know what it's like to walk with God and to be filled with His joy. And I know what it's like not to have it. And I needed to, you know, repent from that. And the second I did, I said, I got in some behavior, I'm ashamed to even say it. Somebody flipped me off, I was driving down the street, and my hand came up out the window. Real Christian behavior, isn't it? Real godly. Broke my heart. And when I realized what I was doing, that's not all I did. I was afraid that they were going to, I thought in my mind, uh-oh, I just put my hand out the window and there's four guys that are going to get out of that car and come at me. That's what aggressive people do when they're, you know, flipping you off. Because I cut a U-turn and I made them slow down a little bit. So what do you think I did? It's a stoplight. I hit a stoplight and I looked in the thing and I'm in a little car, my worker's car, and I thought, they can't see how big I am. They're going to get out of that car, come over here and say, hey, you flipped me off? I'm scared. To be honest with you, I'm scared now. See how quick it goes from a thought to a disconnect to an action? Didn't even think about it. And then I got out of the car to let them know I wanted them to see. You see how big I am? I'm in my work mode, cutting trees, working hard. You see how big I am? Guess what? It's someone's mother and daughter. It was the daughter that flipped me off. I couldn't see him. And they're pointing at the green light. Now, I want you to know something. I wasn't laughing. Okay? I almost started crying. How'd I get here? Oh, I can't teach anymore. I need to resign, God. This is so ungodly. How'd I get here? I'm sorry. Help me. How'd I get here? That's repentance. That's turning to God. You know what he showed me? 2 weeks ago, you walked into that bank. You think you're going to, come on, Lane. Please, don't we know each other better than that? Come on. Shucks. Is your character worth more than money? Playing the money game again. I thought we got over that with cheating on the tax thing. No. Need to do it every day, don't I? Isn't that what he said? Unless you deny yourself daily, pick up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the good news? We get to be like Jesus? Sure it is. If it's not good news to you, you might be one of the people in this crowd that want to stone Paul. He's legalistic. He's religious. Let's stone him. He's not saying what we want to hear. What's God saying? What's God saying here? That's what I want to hear. I want to be like Paul. I want to be God's spokesman. Well, shucks, I'm out of time. Why are you doing this? What a great question. Whenever anybody wants to give me worship or praise and doesn't like the God I serve, I bring it to their attention. I let them know, man, if there's anything you find, I need you to know this, if there's anything you find attractive in me, it's because of my relationship with God. And if you don't want that, I have nothing to offer you. Okay, you better find another sponsor because I got nothing else to offer you. Nor could I offer you anything short of that in good conscience. Because I serve God and it's the most joy-filled, wonderful thing I've ever done. And I'm not going to compromise it. I'm not going to water it down because God doesn't and I'm not going to. Okay. Then he tells them who God is. Why are you doing this? We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God. Now he says who God is. He made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. Now he represents the attributes of God. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Isn't that amazing? These guys are worshiping cheap imitation idols that they created themselves from the reflection of God's creation. And these men are bold enough to tell them, God created all this stuff. This stuff you're worshiping, God created all of it. Worship Him. Worship the Creator, not the creation. Why? He has shown kindness. He gives. He provides. And He fills your heart with joy. He's worthy to be worshipped. Mark's giving me the clue. I'm out of time. Thanks for letting me share this morning.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wasn't a clue.